I'm very honored that you've asked me back again. I've been here before and spoken, and it's not very often that I get invited back. I don't know if you wanted to give me a second chance, or anyway, we praise the Lord that you have invited us back. It's a very high honor to be able to come to Park of the Palms, and we appreciate it. And this morning's offering, incidentally, we have another Gideon in the house. Is Brother Palmer here? There he is, back in the back. Brother Palmer will be assisting us in handling the offering back there this morning. And if you didn't come prepared and you want to bring a check in later and turn it over to Brother Palmer, he'll see that it gets to the proper people. Brother Palmer's relatively new in the Gideons, and we praise God for his associating with us. And it just does our hearts good to realize that we have a representative now right here in Park of the Palms. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord for that. Well, this morning we want to share some things with you that the Lord is doing, that we've seen the Lord doing in this ministry as it's gone out as an extended outreach of Park of the Palms Chapel. Now, for the benefit of this morning, we realize that there are thousands of other congregations participating, but we're not in those churches this morning. We're at Park of the Palms, so we want you to see what your ministry is doing as you extend the ministry of this chapel. Even in retirement years, you're reaching out, touching lost souls with the gospel of Christ. And so we want you to see that this morning. In Matthew 28:19, as Jesus was preparing to return to the Father, he shared some parting words with the 11 disciples as he reminded them of his omnipotent power. And then he delivered what we refer to as the Great Commission when he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Words to the same effect appear in Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 26 to 49. And again in Acts 1:8, where we read, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." From these and other scriptures, it seems obvious that the Lord intended and willed that His people share the message of hope and salvation with the lost world around them. Even in John 3:16, He says, "For God so loved the world." God is concerned about the world. All the lost souls of the world, God is concerned about. We believe that the Lord has raised up the Gideons International in these last days as a means, a vehicle, a means by which business and professional men from among the ranks of the church can use their unique experience and training and abilities that is inherent in the business world to reach out on behalf of God's people in the church, extending the outreach and the message of that church out into a lost world. The Gideons International consists of about 138,000 Christian business and professional men, with about 78,000 of our wives scattered across 172 countries of the world, where we are currently distributing God's Word at the rate of 136,000 copies a day. 136,000 copies per day being distributed with only one purpose in mind: reaching lost mankind with the gospel of Christ. What a challenge. What an awesome responsibility God has given us in this. This is being accomplished by God's people in the church, standing together with the Gideons, working together, cooperating together, supplying scriptures, praying for this ministry, as Christian business and professional men serve as your, if you'll pardon the southern term, some of y'all come from, I just said y'all, is that all right? Some of y'all came from up north, and you may not appreciate our southern language, but we want to be your Bible toters, okay? We just want to be your errand boys and deliver the message for you. As you provide it and as you pray with us, we want to just go out and be the delivery boys and deliver God's Word. And it doesn't make a lot of difference who delivers it. It's still the Word of God. It's infallible, inerrant, Word of God, and we want to be your Bible toters. Perhaps you might be familiar with the scriptures we place in the hotel rooms, in the hospital, by the hospital bedsides, the scriptures that we give to the students at the universities and colleges and to the grade school students, and yes, we even distribute God's Word in the prisons and places like this. But we want to share with you this morning some other things. God is using Gideon's as a means by which Park of the Palms Chapel can reach out and touch the lives of men like Frederick Chaluba. You might not recognize that name right off. World Magazine, February 15, 1997, reported, Frederick Chaluba, president of Zambia, Africa, prayed at his first inaugural ceremony in 1991. You know, we don't see much presidents praying in the United States when they're inaugurated, but this fellow prayed at his inaugural ceremony, and this is what he prayed. He says, Lord, we humble ourselves and admit our guilt. We repent from all our wicked ways of idolatry, witchcraft, the occult, immorality, and corruption, and injustice, and all other sins that have violated your righteous laws. We turn away from all these and renounce them all in Jesus' name. And then, speaking without note, this new president declared Zambia a Christian nation and pledged to submit himself as president to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Mr. Chaluba came to Christ in a political prison in Zambia as a result of reading a Gideon Place Bible like this one that he had taken from a hotel room and carried with him when he was captured and taken to that political prison. You see, you helped to supply that word, and God used it to reach out there and touch his man. Yes, God uses his word to challenge a young rebel. A young rebel in Madison, Wisconsin, turned him around and made him a child of the King and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man's name was Kevin Massey Gillespie. And it turns out that Kevin Massey Gillespie and his twin brother, Keith, grew up in Madison. They grew up in a Christian family, but when they turned 16 years old, because of evil influences on their lives in the society around them, they announced to their parents that they would not be Christians, that they would be atheists. Their mother was stunned. She was heartbroken. She didn't know how to take it. But they were persistent. They said, you and Daddy just don't have it all together. We're going to be atheists. And so they persisted in that for several years. She said, I can't change you. I can't out-argue you. I can't convince you, but I'll pray for you. And so as she prayed for them year after year, they grew on up and finished high school and started to college there at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And as they were attending college there, one morning, Kevin stepped off the bus. It was cold weather. It was a winter morning. It was freezing and raining. He stepped off the bus to go to class one morning, and standing by the bus stop was a man in a suit and a top coat and a hat and a box by his side. And as Kevin stepped off that bus, that man reached out with a green testament similar to the one I have here and said, would you like a copy of God's Word today? Kevin says, no, thank you. And he walked on and he thought to himself, the very idea of that guy invading our campus like this with his doctrines. Doesn't he know I have a right to be an atheist if I want to? As he walked on down the sidewalk with some antagonism in his mind, he looked down the sidewalk and there was another man about 100 yards down the sidewalk. And as he approached him, he reached out with another green book and he said, wouldn't you like a free testament today? He said, no, sir. And this time he was really getting exasperated. He looked down the sidewalk, though, and as far as he could see, and he had to walk about 2 miles to get to his first class, and as far as he could see down that sidewalk, about every 100 yards, there was another man with a top coat on and a hat on and a box by his side. He says, I guess I better take one from the next guy, and I'll pretend I'm reading it, and then the rest of them will leave me alone. And so the third man he came to, he took that little green book as the man reached it out to him, and he walked down the sidewalk looking in there in the pages, and as he looked in those pages as he was walking down the sidewalk, the Holy Spirit began to work, and he got interested in the book of Matthew. He got to his first class, and he had a few minutes to spare, so he settled down at a warm spot in the hall and continued the reading. When class time came, he was so engrossed in what he was reading, he decided he'd just skip that class and read that testament for a while. He skipped that class, read through that class. He skipped the next class and read through that. He skipped classes all day long and continued reading that testament. That evening, he hurried home on the bus and went straight to his room and continued reading that testament. He'd never seen anything so rich. It had captivated him. The Holy Spirit was working with what was happening. He hurried to his room when he got home and continued reading the testament way into the night. He skipped supper. He read way into the night. And in the middle of the night, he got to the back page and he read, confessing to God that I'm a sinner and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification. I do now receive him as my Lord and Savior. He took out his pen and he wrote his name in there before he realized what he was doing. And then he thought, oh, what about Keith? What's Keith going to think about this? We're atheists. He got up in the middle of the night and he went running down the hall and knocked on Keith's door. And to his amazement, Keith was awake. He knocked on the door. Keith said, come in. He opened the door, and as he opened the door and looked in the room, Keith was kneeling at the bed with the Green Testament in his hand. Keith got up and said, guess what, Kevin? I just accepted Christ. Kevin says, well, I did too. That's what I came to tell you about. Today, Kevin Massey-Gillespie is preaching the gospel of Christ in the regions of southern Wisconsin. Because churches, Christian congregations like Park of the Palms, stood with the Gideons supplying copies of God's Word to be placed on that campus. Isn't it great to see what God does? Selma Johnson lived in Arkansas. Out in a rural area of Arkansas, she lived. I think it may have been Helena, Arkansas, or someplace. But anyway, she lived in Arkansas. She was a black lady. She had a niece that lived with her. And one day that niece came home and brought a little red testament like this from school. And so when Selma saw it, she said, that's great, honey. Every night we'll sit down and we'll read that testament before we go to bed. And so day after day they read that testament until one night this little niece looked up at Selma and said, Aunt Selma, I think we ought to pray and accept Jesus Christ into our lives, don't you? And she says, yes, I do, honey. And so they prayed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Meanwhile, back in Little Rock, there was an attorney making his way in the business world. His name was John Ward. I want you to remember Selma. We're going to talk more about her in a few minutes. But his name was John Ward. John was making it big in the legal profession. He was going to be a big hotshot lawyer, is the way he put it. Well, he worked from can to cane. He got to work every morning before anybody else did and stayed till everybody else left. And then a lot of times at night he would go out and wine and dine his clients at night after working hours and go in the late hours of the night and get up before the family left in the morning and leave again. And he was making it big, but he was almost losing his family. One night he came in about 2 o'clock in the morning. As he went into the house without turning the lights on, he slipped in, sat down in the family room, and his eyes got accustomed to the darkness. He read a sign up over the door, said, Happy Birthday. He thought for a moment. He said, Happy Birthday. Whose birthday is it? Oh, his daughter's birthday. And his wife and his daughter shared the same birthday. His wife and his daughter had celebrated their birthday that day, and he didn't even remember. He missed the party. He thought, I'm missing a lot in my life. Sure, I'm making success in the legal world, but I'm missing a lot. It turned out that there was a guy who lived right across the road from him that was a Gideon named Ernie Freshour. So he stayed up all night and thought and pondered what he could do to put more meaning in his life. And he watched Ernie's house, and the next morning when Ernie turned on his light to get ready to go to work, he runs over and knocks on the door and says, "Ernie, I'm confused. I've got problems." And Ernie says, "John, you're never going to have things right till you get your life straightened out with the Lord." He took a Bible like this one and handed it to him. He said, "Here, take this Bible," because Ernie was busy getting ready to go to work too and didn't take much time with it. He said, "Take this Bible and start in the first chapter of the book of Matthew and start reading it through." Well, he took that Bible and went to work that morning, and he opened it up to the first chapter of the book of Matthew, and you know what he read? "Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat," you know. And he thought, "Boy, old Ernie sure sees something in that book I don't see. I don't get it." So he laid it down on his desk, and he went on about his work. About mid-morning, Thelma Johnson showed up for an appointment. And she settled down in his office, and she saw that book. And she said, "Oh, Mr. Ward, are you reading that book?" He said, "Well, I was going to, but I can't get anything out of it." She said, "Well, this is what you need, Mr. Ward." And she pulled out that same little red testament that Gideon had given her niece at school. And she said, "Let me show you, Mr. Ward." And she opened that testament to where he says, "God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." She pointed out a couple of verses like that to him, and then she says, "Mr. Ward, you need to start from there and read the whole book of John through. Just start and read the book of John." And she took that little testament and she rubbed out her name and her niece's name out of the back and handed it to John Ward and said, "Take this little testament. You can carry that in your pocket and read the book of John." Well, he went on reading that testament that day and it began to make sense. And as the day went on, he got on into the book of John. And as he read the book of John, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," he says, "this is making sense." And he bowed in his office that day and says, "Lord, let the blood of Jesus count for me too." And he did. God saved him. He went home that night. He went home a little early. He said, "I'm going to try to rebuild my relationship with my family." So he went in at 6 o'clock. The family was sitting down to dinner, but they always had his dinner in the oven because he never came home on time. He came in and he pulled his chair up to the table where the family was eating. He went over and got his dinner out of the oven and set it down and began to eat with his family. The next night he did the same thing. This went on for several days, and finally his wife spoke up one night and she said, "John, have you lost your job?" He says, "No, honey, but something wonderful happened." And he told her about Thelma Johnson. He told her about the little testament. He says, "The Lord has changed my life." And he said, "I want you to know about it." And he said, I want us to be a Christian family." And he won his wife to the Lord Jesus Christ. And his daughter accepted Christ. And then one night he came home about 10 o'clock. And he noticed the light was on in his son's room. And he went to the door. And as he stepped to the door, his son stuck something behind him. And he said, "What you got behind you, son?" He said, "I don't want to tell you, Daddy." He said, "Well, I want to know. I got to know." He said, "What's that you got behind your back?" He says, "Well, Daddy," he pulled it out, and there was a little testament. He said, "Where'd you get that testament?" He said, "I bought it." He says, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "Well, Daddy, when I saw what it done for you, I figured I could use a little of that for myself." And so that night, he bowed on the floor and led his son to the Lord Jesus Christ. A whole family had come to the Lord Jesus Christ. A result of one testament given to Thelma Johnson's niece in a school in Helena, Arkansas. But he didn't even stop there, because you see, John Ward today is a circuit judge in one of the biggest circuits in Arkansas. And not only that, he serves on the finance board with Gideon's International. He has served 6 years as a Gideon representative in South America because of one testament. Turned a busy businessman filled with ambition and zeal for the world into a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's serving God with the same fervency that he thought the business world. Yes, you're reaching out. There's some scriptures we've mentioned. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9. Maybe we mentioned them, maybe we didn't. But anyway, Paul says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And then if you read on down in verses 7 and 8, he indicates that it's not really important who plants and who waters, but the important thing is that God give the increase. And so he puts the emphasis where it belongs, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Tom Meyer, one of our international representatives, visited Bulgaria, Varna, Bulgaria. And Tom, being an American, and Bulgaria being much different, you can appreciate some culture shock there. And as he visited the Gideon camp there in Varna, Bulgaria, he said they didn't have any cars to drive to do their scripture distributions, but they carried the boxes in their arms through the streets. And they had little carts and little wheelbarrows and different kind of little vehicles that they had contrived to haul the boxes of scriptures to the various distributions home. And he says, the first day I helped them with their distributions, as it began to get on into the day, he says, those boxes began to get heavy as I walked through the streets carrying boxes of scriptures to help them do their distributions. And he says, a brother named Ivan Krasimir looked over at me and he said, Brother Tom, in Bulgaria, it's good for your testimony to be seen carrying boxes of Bibles through the streets. And he says, my load got just a little bit lighter. On the way home that night, as they were coming back from the distributions, he said, Brother Ivan Krasimir looked at him again and said, Brother Tom, we have second-class Gideons in Bulgaria. He said, what do you mean second-class Gideons? He said, well, we read about it and we get the reports and we know that in America and some other countries you have large church congregations, the people have money, and we read about the big offerings you get and how large sums of money are generated from church offerings and from Gideon meetings and so forth. He said, we can't do that in Bulgaria because our people are very poor. And so we're second-class Gideons. We can only place the scriptures. We can't buy very many. Tom took time to explain to him and said, Brother, look at it this way. In America, we can raise funds. But in Bulgaria, while you can't raise very many funds, you have tremendously rich soil for the planting of the Word of God. The average camp in America distributes about 5,000 copies of God's Word in a year. You'll distribute more than 100,000 copies a year. So he says, you have the rich field. We have the resources. And God has so decreed that we should use our resources and use your opportunities for the distribution of the Word of God. And God should get to give the increase and get the glory. Paul plants, Apollos waters, God gives the increase. Isn't it great when we see how God would use our little efforts and put his blessings on it and make things work out? Yes, it's great when we see God working and in conjunction with what we're trying to accomplish. And this happened also in the case of Laszlo Rivas. Laszlo Rivas lived in Hungary. Let me tell you about Hungary. In 1991, the Gideon ministry was organized in Hungary. We began distributing scriptures, but we found out that the only translation of the scriptures that they had in the Hungarian language was very old, very antiquated, very difficult to understand. But it's all we had until recently. And in recent years, some other things have come to light because we learned about Laszlo Rivas. You see, back about 80 years ago, when the communists came in and took over and they stopped the preaching of the Word of God and the open worship of the Lord in Hungary, Laszlo Rivas, a doctor, a bishop with the church, saw the need to make a new translation of the Scriptures. He didn't know whether he would ever be able to preach it or not. He didn't know whether anybody would or not, but somehow he felt compelled by the Spirit of God to do a translation of the Scriptures. And so under cover of a forest, he worked feverishly on his off hours, typing out a new translation of the Word of God that would be more understandable. The authorities learned about it, and they sent over and they confiscated his typewriter. Well, not to be stopped. He continued by writing it out by hand. Imagine what it would be like to speak out the meaning of every passage of Scripture and then write it out by hand. Well, they learned about it again, and they called him in, and they tortured him, and they broke his fingers so he could no longer write. He went back home, and his daughters, he had two daughters, and they said, "Dad, you do the translation. You dictate it to us. We'll write it." And so, as this went along, by the time the Iron Curtain fell and liberty returned to Hungary, a translation of the Scriptures was ready to go to the printers. Well, printing houses all around the world began to contact that family when it was learned and make huge offers of money for that manuscript because they could print it and make profits from printing the new version of Scriptures in the Hungarian language. The family considered them very carefully and just about a year and a half ago made their final decision. And their decision was not to take any of the monetary offers for that translation of the Scriptures and that manuscript, but they gave it to the Gideon's International without charge. What a contribution. November the 9th, 1998. Well, meanwhile, back in Budapest, let me tell you about this. Meanwhile, over in Budapest, you know, they used to say that. I think they did cut out of movie houses or somewhere, but they used to say, "Meanwhile, back at the ranch." Well, meanwhile, over in Budapest, the Hungarian legislature was at work, and last year they passed a law that required the teaching of the Bible in all the public schools of Hungary as a basis for developing moral character in the young people. What a tremendous conclusion. November the 9th, 1998, the first distribution was done in Budapest, Hungary, of the Laszlo Rabaz version of the Scriptures. And that week, they distributed 54,000 copies of God's Word in the public schools of Hungary. They're going to use Gideon Bibles as textbooks. What a privilege we have here. You see, God puts it together. Paul plants, Apollos waters. We can supply Scriptures. They can place the Scriptures in the schools, and the Hungarian students can be educated on the Word of God as God puts it all together. What a wonderful plan He has as He fits all of our efforts together. This morning we invite you to continue your support of the Gideons, your participation in this ministry. You can participate in this ministry. Everybody in the church can participate in the Gideon ministry, because while business and professional men do the footwork in this ministry, all God's people can have a part. Some can take part in the retiring offering this morning in the boxes and provide copies of God's Word to be placed. You see, last year we distributed 47.6 million copies of God's Word. This year we're attempting to distribute 50 million copies. And when we took the budget and divided it by that number of Scriptures, the average cost per copy of Scriptures last year was $1.38. That means that you could consider this morning for each $13.80 that you gave, another 10 copies of God's Word would go out somewhere in our 172 countries of the world. Yes? Some can participate by using the Memorial Bible Plan. I understand that the Memorial Bible Plan gets great use in Park of the Palms. They tell me that they have to replenish your racks often, and we praise God for that. You can send cards to let loved ones know when you're using the Memorial Bible Plan to remember loved ones going on to be with the Lord or to remember special occasions. And as you do that, you're supplying God's Word for placement by the Gideons around the world. If you can't do that, if you didn't come this morning prepared to give, I have a few envelopes in my pocket. If you'll see me after the service, I'll be glad to supply you with one. You may want to hand the offering later to our Brother Gideon back there, Brother Palmer. And so you can do that. But if you can't do any of them, all can pray. If you know the Lord, you can pray. And you can pray and ask God to continue His blessings such as He did in Hungary. See, we didn't know about that. We didn't know how to pray for this brother to make a translation of the Scriptures 80 years ago, but God had it all fixed and all in His divine plan. And so you can pray for God to continue to open doors. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so we invite you to pray with us for that. But if you can't pray for that this morning, and you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not on speaking terms with Him, you can pray and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart today. And He'll come in and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Whatever the need, whatever the level of participation, we invite you today to participate with us. And we thank you so much for this special relationship that we can have with Park of the Palms and the Gideon Ministry. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank You. How we love You, Lord. God, You've done so much for us. You've given us so many opportunities of service. We stand in awe as we realize all that You've done and all that You're doing, and that You allow us to have a part in it all. We pray this morning that Your blessings will continue on this chapel and on this people. And on the Gideon Ministry. And we pray that You would make it possible for these precious people to see how You're using this ministry as they participate to extend their outreach all around the world, touching lives with the gospel of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.